There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Story Corner. From the Gruffalo to the Hunger Games and beyond.
So we are about to cross over to Cairo because we have Dina El Abed on the line. Let me just introduce her very quickly to you all. She's a children's author and critic. She founded the children's magazine Kaleidoscope and has written and edited numerous books for young people. Hi, Dina. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
So we want to talk today about what makes a good children's book, and there are a few questions that we have for you. But before we get started, would you mind telling us a little bit about the kind of picture books that you write and how you got started with this in the first place?
Sure, no problem. So I've been writing since I was maybe 8 years old. I've always loved writing, and as I, you know, advanced through school and I went to college, I learned that I ended up writing more for children. So I studied children's literature at Cambridge, and you know, it opened my eyes to what was happening all over the world, what was good children's literature and that sort of thing. And you know, life just took me from there. So most recently I've written a children's book for Asala in Lebanon, and it's an Arabic children's book called Mila the Beautiful Cat. It's a really funny story about a cat that has so many adventures in a house where it moves into. And it's just, you know, a street cat, but it shares a love with the child who lives in the house. And so you see how there's sort of an acceptance that grows between them. But yeah, I love picture books, and I was so happy to be able to write this one because picture books, you know, are, I'd say, a more advanced level of children's books, and because they equally use text and illustration. For a child who is a beginning reader, the illustration is something that they read too, which maybe adults don't read as often. So it is so much more helpful to introduce a child to reading and to just give them a more exciting experience overall.
My co-host Yvette Judge and I, we're both big fans of picture books, and I don't think that there's any really an age limit on when you have to stop reading a picture book. But there's an there's an argument that goes back and forth, I think, in children's publishing, is that, you know, what adults think is good for children isn't necessarily always what children think is good for children. What do you think makes a good children's book, and does that line up with what children enjoy reading?
So that's an excellent question. I think that what makes a good children's book, there are a few different elements. One is that it just psychologically hits the child's level, so the child can understand the book. That's pretty basic, right? But not everybody, not all, especially inexperienced authors who don't have time to sit with children and, you know, go to schools and all that sort of a thing, they might miss out completely on a child's understanding of what happens in the story. The illustrations, of course, must be, you know, world-class, exciting, full of movement, creativity, variety on each spread. The text itself should flow, and especially when read aloud. That would make a book more useful for, you know, the parent or the teacher to read to the child. And the story itself, when it's written, it should be very consciously written from start to finish, you know, either coming full circle at the end or, you know, purposely leaving it open for the reader's interpretation. This is even for the youngest ages. It doesn't matter. But, I mean, in my opinion, I'd say that what makes a book outstanding, you know, beyond good, is that it really contains and addresses feeling very much. The book should leave you or, you know, grab you or give you a very strong feeling. And I think that what comes to mind now is a Maya Angelou quote, where she says, you know, people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, people will never forget how you made them feel. And I know for myself, when I was a huge reader growing up, that reading always gave me a feeling of security and also adventure, you know, of comfort, but also excitement. And, you know, just this reading forevermore then became something I looked forward to. Grown-ups do have different opinions about what makes a good children's book good. It's kind of regretful for me to say this, but most adults simply don't know how to select books for their children. That's why awards actually can be extremely useful. If there's a gold sticker, on that front cover, then it immediately stands out. And we know, as, book critics or, maybe avid readers or writers, that there's a panel that would, has a lot of experience reading and knows what's going on, and so they judge a book well. But many adults traditionally, historically, and even until now, search for books that are overly didactic. They check there's nothing that they think is controversial in the story. They check that there's a good moral that's, quite obviously spelled out at the end. And, that it teaches a lesson. And that simply isn't, considered good writing anymore. So I think it might be difficult sometimes for people who are less familiar with the world of children's literature to select a good book alone.
Dina, that's brilliant. This is Yvette here now. You've summed up brilliantly so many thoughts that I've had in my head. I'm going to make sure I get the podcast of what you've just said. I think particularly with regard to the last point you made about adults and children's books and what they think a good children's book should be. And I think that children's books are a safe place for children to explore ideas and what's happening in other people's lives, other people's experiences. And I really think that they need to be offered as broad a range of books as possible for them to do that. And it's lovely, what you said about the books being a comfort, if you like, and things like that. But they also do need to push the boundaries a little bit, I feel, to give children that experience.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I think that, as a child, children don't really have a fully completed sense of self yet. Mm. They don't necessarily know who they are. They don't know, I'm an Egyptian student and they are others. They just think that they're a human being and they're reading about other human beings. They still don't have a fully defined sense of self and feeling, this other versus me. This isn't always defined very young. This usually happens a little bit older. So when a child then reads, books about different cultures and things, sure, some things are very different than what they're used to, but it also kind of feels like adventurous. It feels a movie. It doesn't feel like, they have a different culture than I do. And I think it actually adapts a child very early on into accepting all of this difference as exciting and as safe. You're not as a threat to them in any way.
Definitely. I couldn't agree more. Well, we've had such a nice chat. It's lovely when you chat with somebody that you agree with totally.
I guess.
But I think yeah, building the empathy for children is really, really important. The illustrations, I think, are crucial. And it's, I've read lots of stories to lots of children. And I think it's great when you as an adult are reading a picture book, you're showing them the illustrations, and then suddenly the child will pick out something, because they're intently looking at the pictures, the words are going in, but they're looking at the pictures. They will pick out something that you haven't noticed as an adult. Those books where you've got maybe one character that keeps popping up in all the pictures and so on. So I think there is an absolute wealth of opportunity for discussion about books, and it should never just be a straightforward reading a story. There always has to be something more. What you said about maybe leaving the ending open sometimes, I think is great, because again, you've got that opportunity for discussion.
Yes, that's completely, yeah.
Yeah, that's important.
You write children's books to inspire children, but I mean, what were the books that inspired you growing up? Are there any that you clearly remember from your childhood?
Definitely. I grew up in the States actually before moving to Egypt, and so I was very lucky to be introduced to so many children's books, 90s children's books through my school. So I remember books like, Bridge to Terabithia, A Wrinkle in Time, The Giver, but then for an even younger age, my parents would pick up books like Dr. Seuss, that was thrown everywhere at that age, even now. The rainbow, probably the rainbow fish. I remember very clearly a book that I loved so much called But No Elephants by Jerry Smith. And there was a character there called Grandma Titty or Tidy. And she was just hilarious to me. But I loved her because she loved animals, and so did I. And that was definitely a story that till now, you know, I just love, and I have the copy. It's completely wrinkled, and the edges are all torn, literally all torn across the whole book. But I guess we just read it so often. I just love that book.
It's well-loved. I think that's what I'd say. You've just reminded me as well of Bridge to Terabithia, which I've managed to block out of my mind from childhood. And now it's all coming flooding back, all the anger and the pain.
Oh, no.
That book broke me when I was at school. I just remember thinking, why have they given us this to read? It's awful and traumatic.
But you need that in your life, Annabelle. You need that.
Yes, it was
an
important
book. To know what good place you're in now.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for chatting to us today, Dina. We're going to have to leave it there, but it's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much. And it's been a pleasure chatting with you, and hope to speak again soon.
Dina El-Abad, the children's author and critic, founder of the children's magazine Kaleidoscope, and she has edited and written numerous books for young people. And dinaelabad.com is where you can go to find out more information about her.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.